Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to enjoy today's program, and we're going to be sharing something with you that is extremely fascinating. Now, if you've never studied this or you've never put this together, this is going to show you America in prophecy by pattern. Now, one of the things that I have received questions on for years is this. Why isn't America, being a last day nation, being a nation as influential as it is, why is it not specifically prophesied somewhere in the Bible that this nation would come to power? First of all, it's the most powerful democracy in the world. It's the most influential nation on the earth. You have to admit that. And I know China's trying to take that lead, but America still is the most influential nation on earth. It's the leading nation on the planet for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ through the message of the faith. We have the main currency, and also we are the main economic center, although that's beginning to change somewhat. So how can we not be in Bible prophecy? Why are we not alluded to? Well, first, please understand this. Bible prophecy deals with events of the past or previous empires of the past. It deals with Israel, Jerusalem, and the Jewish people, but it is centered in the Middle East and also what we call Asia, Asia Minor. So because of it being centered in that part of the world, much of the emphasis is placed on that part of the world. Secondly, world history began in the Middle East, the area of Iraq, Iran, Lebanon, Israel, Egypt, etc. And everything has to go into a complete full circle, as prophetic time is cyclical, and everything will return back to that area, which is very evident when reading the prophecies about the tribulation period and also reading Revelation chapter 4 all the way through chapter 19. And number three, and I said this a moment ago, but I say this as one main point, most of the Bible prophecies, especially the Old Testament, will center on Israel, Jerusalem, and the Jewish people, because this is the land that God has covenant with. This is the land where he raised up a people to bring his word, the Torah. This is the land where he raised up the people that would give birth to the Messiah. So everything centers there. Now the question then comes up, how do you discover America in prophecy? And the answer is through historical patterns that are implied in biblical prophecies. Now Ecclesiastes chapter 1, 9 through 10 says this, "The thing which has been is that which shall be, and that which has been done is that which shall be done, and there's nothing new under the sun." All right, watch what I'm going to share with you. Secular history does repeat itself. You have a Babel in the book of Genesis, chapter 11. You have a Babylon in the book of Daniel. The entire book of Daniel, chapter 1 through 12, was written from ancient Babylon, which today would be located in the area of what is modern Iraq. And in Revelation 17, 18, you have something called Mystery Babylon that appears at the end of days. So secular history repeats itself. Spiritual history repeats itself. Okay, we have the days of Noah in Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9. We have the days of Lot, specifically in Genesis chapter 19. And Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so will it be at the time of the coming of the Son of Man." So therefore, we're going to see events that happen biblically that have a spiritual connotation repeat themselves at the time of the end. We call them the signs of the time. Here's a third thing. National history repeats itself. The patterns of previous empires, and I'm speaking now of the empires recorded in the Bible or empires of prophecy. For example, the Roman Empire, Grecian Empire, Babylonian Empire, Syrian Empire, Medo-Persian Empire, the patterns of those empires circle back around. It might not be the same area, but it will circle back around to the same patterns. So a past empire will have a repetitive pattern in a future empire. Now, one of the things that's interesting is this. I discovered this years ago. Now look, when I say I discovered it for me. It was already out there, so this is nothing new. I don't want to, like, you know, Perry's taking credit for this. I'm not. But I began to research the amazing Hebraic thread from Columbus, Christopher Columbus, who brought the ships over to the coast here, and America Vespucci, who, I believe I pronounced his name correctly, I'm trying to go from memory, who named America. And from Columbus to the American Revolution, there is this amazing Hebrew thread that starts. I'm going to give you 10 points here in America. the Hebrew language. The second governor of the Plymouth Colony, who was Sir William Bradford, said in his book, History of the Plymouth Colony, that the Hebrew language was the language in which God and the angels spoke to the holy patriarchs of old time. Bradford used the Hebrew language at the beginning of his books. The founding fathers discussed making the Hebrew language the official language of the colonies. And many of the Ivy League universities taught Hebrew, and some of them, their seals, have Hebrew writing and Hebrew language, the Hebrew letters on them. Israel and the Americans, Israel and America's national documents are merged together. What do I mean by that? You have the national document for ancient Israel, their spiritual document, and their laws were based on the Torah, the five books of Moses that Moses wrote in the wilderness. Our Constitution, according to Harry Truman, is based on the Torah, the Psalms, and the four Gospels. So Israel and America's national documents are linked with the spiritual connection. In England, the pilgrims were called separatists. The earliest Jews from Abraham's time were called Evarim, which is the word we now talk about as being Hebrews, which translates as a separatist, one that comes across a river, that separates himself by crossing a river. So there's that little connection there. Both Abraham and the pilgrims came into a land that was already inhabited by other people. Both had to possess the land and attempted to teach the native people about God. That's a fourth parallel. A fifth parallel is this. Israel was divided between the north and the south, or the northern tribes and the southern tribes, and the United States was divided between the north and the south in the Civil War. Here's number six. When the Hebrews built Jerusalem as their capital, it belonged to no tribe, but was the center of the nation for all 13 colonies. When the founding fathers began to build Washington, D.C., it was considered a separate city, with all of the colonies eventually claiming it as their capital. So there's that very interesting connection on the capital of Israel, the capital of the United States. The city of Jerusalem was actually built up when the second king, who was King David, took control of the kingdom. David built his house on the mountains of Zion. The White House was completed in the time for the America's second president to live in it, John Adams, in the 1800s. So in other words, second king of Israel builds the house on the mountain to live in as king, and the White House is completed during the second president of the United States. Just an interesting parallel. Israel was founded with 13 tribes, and America was founded with 13 colonies. Saul was actually the first king of Israel. George Washington was America's first president. Both were a head taller, and neither wanted the position originally. You can read that about Saul being taller than others, and also Saul trying to run from the position of king. You can read about that in the book of Samuel. When George Washington ran for president of the United States, the only man it was suggested to run against him was a man named Israel. Now, it's real interesting when you talk about the division of the North and the South and the split that took place during America's Civil War. When Israel came out of Egyptian bondage, Exodus 12:37 tells us that there were 600,000 men of war that came out, of course, with their families and their children. Some estimate that there could have been somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.8 up to 3 million people. No one knows exactly. Now, what is interesting is this. I've heard scholars say for years, if we count everybody, there could have been a total of 3 million men plus the women plus the children. The Constitution, when it was formed and America was formed, there were 3 million people living in America. Just an interesting thought. Now, we can't prove 3 million about Israel, although some scholars do believe that. Others reject that. In 1896, there were 500,000 people identified as slaves. And Israel were, the nation of Israel, I should say, the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt. And they lived among what the Bible calls a mixed multitude. So America, by 1896, we see a common parallel there. And America is a nation of a mixed multitude. We have people from every type of nation. People whose ancestors lived in, now we're talking hundreds of thousands of years ago, in the ancient empires are living in the United States. It's a nation of mixed people. After 80 years, we have David and we have Solomon, right? We have David ruling for 40 years. We have Solomon ruling for 40 years. So after 80 years, there was a split between the northern and the southern kingdoms of Israel. After 80 years of America being founded by our documents, she goes into a civil war, separating the north from the south. Rehoboam took 180,000 men to fight against the house of Israel during this time of division. So brothers were fighting brothers and tribes were fighting tribes, similar to the Civil War, where Americans were fighting Americans and even families were completely divided between the issue. Some fought for the north and others fought for the south. There were two capitals. Listen to this. This is interesting. When Israel split at the time of Rehoboam, there was a northern capital in the tribe of Dan, and there was the southern capital in Jerusalem. Two separate capitals, one for the north, one for the south. One for the northern tribes, one for the southern tribes. Here's what's interesting. During the Civil War, Washington, D.C. became the capital of the north, and the south was Montgomery, Alabama, and later became Richmond, Virginia. So the nation is not only divided between the north and the south, it's not only divided against brother and brother, similar to ancient Israel, but we also discovered there were two different capitals in the time of ancient Israel and two different capitals during the Civil War. During a congressional resolution that's dated May the 2nd, 1864, I quote, "It requested the citizens to confess and repent their manifold sins, implore the compassion and forgiveness of the Almighty, and beseech Him as supreme ruler of the world not to destroy us a people." I wonder if the people that are in power in Washington now would be willing to ask the nation to repent and confess. And I wonder if they would be willing to ask them to beseech God not to destroy the nation. I doubt you could find 10 out of 400 that would be willing to do that in the nation's capital. On April the 30th, 1863, Lincoln stated, and I quote, "It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon." And Lincoln concluded by saying this, "It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power and confess our national sins and to pray for clemency and forgiveness." I personally believe that one of the reasons the Civil War was ceased, the nation came back together, was because of the prayer of many people, many, many people, repenting of the national sins, including the sin of slavery, and calling on the name of the Lord God to heal the nation. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, "If my people who were called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land." Now, there's no question about it that the spiritual patterns of ancient Israel are parallel to the spiritual patterns and even some of the political patterns of the United States of America. So I can't find America specifically in prophecy. I can find implications. I can take the parable of the vineyard and say that could allude to the United States, the nation that brings forth fruit in its season. But I can also say that refers to the church, which is to produce spiritual souls or fruit for the kingdom of God. Now, one of the most interesting parallels that we researched many years ago is the parallels of the ancient Roman Empire, the ancient Republic, with the United States of America. Now, once again, if you've never heard these are absolutely fascinating. First of all, I want you to consider this. Rome and America are superpowers. Rome was the superpower of their day, and America the superpower of today. Rome was the greatest military power of its time, and without a doubt, America has the greatest military on the face of the earth. Both Rome and America had a Senate. Both Rome and America had senators. Both Rome and America had a Capitol Hill. Both Rome and America have the eagle that was their national and political emblem. Both Rome and America had one main leader. For America, he's called a president. For Rome, he was called a Caesar. Both Rome and America have permitted the killing of infants. And we know that happened when Jesus was born, how Herod sent the Roman soldiers in to slay all the children under 2 years of age. And from 1973 until recently, it was a legal permitting of abortion. Both America and Rome were obsessed with games and sports. The highest paid athletes in Rome, The highest paid people in the Roman Empire were the athletes. They made the most money. And the same is true today with an athlete that makes millions and millions of dollars a year if he can pull in the crowd and win games. Both Rome and those who live in America stood for a national anthem. Rome had an anthem, now watch this, where people put their hand over their heart and pledged allegiance to their flag. America has a national anthem where especially those in the military and those who respect the country and the flag pledged to put their hand over the heart. And we don't do it as much now, but in the early days, all schools pledged allegiance to the flag and to the United States of America, meaning they were committed to the nation and the freedom of the nation. Both Rome and America turned to Eastern cults and to Eastern religion. Both Rome and America raised taxes on the common people. Rome was obsessed with same-sex relationships. The same is completely true about America. Rome, though, became corrupt politically from within and fell from within. Will the same thing eventually happen to the United States of America? So what I'm saying is this, the spiritual patterns of ancient Israel are with the United States. What does that mean? That means that if the United States follows the same sins of ancient Israel, they will be judged by the same judgments that ancient Israel was judged by. Now, if Israel followed the word of God, if they repented and turned to God, great blessing came on the land. The land received rain in due season. The crops were blessed. The animals were blessed. The same will happen to America, but it has to come through repentance of states and counties and governors of turning to God. Politically, there is no question about it. And I only gave you a certain number of parallels. There's over 20 parallels of the Roman Empire with the United States of America. And the point is this, that when Rome began to do some of the things that it did, and it began to persecute Christians, and it began to do horrible things toward people, then judgment eventually followed. You know, the Roman 10th Legion came into the city of Jerusalem, and they burnt the temple to the ground, and it happened, according to most rabbis, on the 9th of Av on the Jewish calendar. Almost 9 years later, in Italy, the second largest city of Italy, called Pompeii, Mount Vesuvius erupted, absolutely annihilating not only Pompeii, but the surrounding area. And some people believed that it was a result of their destruction of the city of Jerusalem, their burning of the temple, because four of the biggest temples to the idol gods were completely annihilated in the volcanic eruption. So many people believe because of 27 brothels, because of idolatry, because of the treatment of Christians, Rome experienced its own judgment. It's very possible. So how was Israel dealt with? Well, lack of rain, being taken captive into other nations, drought, famine, pestilences, etc., wars. And how was Rome judged? Well, if you look at the history of Rome, nomadic tribes eventually came in, strangers eventually came in and bought the area and took over the area. Here in the United States, we have, for example, and I'm not going to name the country, you'll figure it out, but right up the road from us here is a huge plant that's a paper plant that was shut down, and a foreign company came in and bought the entire plant out. It's now owned by a foreign company. There's another foreign company that's producing huge things right up the road from us, another foreign company. Recently, one of the largest farming communities was bought up by a foreign company. What's happening to us? See, I think it's the will of God, and I'm not against foreigners. My great-grandparents came from Italy. Amen. My other ancestors came from Ireland. So my point is, I'm fine with people coming. But the point is, if you read the Bible, one of the lack of blessings or lack of favor would be when the stranger among you would rise up far above you and begin to control and own your land and own you. Now, folks, let's just face it. We're seeing that in the United States, where outside companies are coming in and actually buying what used to be owned by Americans, what used to be owned by families who for generations farmed the land, generations took care of our food, generations took care of our electricity, our coal, etc. It's beginning to change. So I think you need to understand something, that what America has to do is repent. Now, repent doesn't just mean I'm sorry. I'm doing a study on that now. It doesn't just mean to say, well, I regret that, shouldn't have done that, I'm sorry. That can be part of it, because godly sorrow works repentance. But it actually means to totally change your thinking. We need a thinking change that can only come through turning to the Word of God and turning to the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if we don't, all the patterns that you read about that occurred in ancient Israel will repeat themselves in our government, our political system, and in our states. Everything that you see with the collapse of Rome, from the internal political corruption, where senators actually started assassinating other senators in Rome when they wanted to keep power. They took other people down. They started lies and rumors to get rid of people, to arrest people, so that they could maintain power. That's the Roman Empire in the late 4th century. Ladies and gentlemen, these are patterns of the United States. So I think we need to turn and repent, especially the church. Judgment begins first at the house of God. So I hope you've enjoyed a little bit of history here. I love doing this thing. I love patterns and cycles and types and shadows. You know that. And I love a mystery. I love to be able to look at a mystery and see if I can solve it. And there are thousands of you, tens of thousands of you, that you love jigsaw puzzles and you love mysteries and you love to look at a movie that has a mystery, you know, all those, that some of that, the National Treasures, you know, I've watched all of those. So here's my point that I want to share with you. Listen to me very carefully. I need you to watch what I'm going to show you right now, to watch this. And I want you to participate in this. You may never see anything like this again from a Christian perspective ever. So this may be a once in your lifetime chance. Watch this right now.
You, your family, and friends can now participate in America's very first Christian-based treasure hunt, with prizes awarded to the winner with an estimated value of $500,000. The Treasure Book is a fictional story of Perry Stone's daughter traveling the Appalachian mountain chain, using her father's clues to search for a hidden key that releases the door to her inheritance. In the book, a special key has been hidden that, when found, will award valuable gifts to the finder. Follow the rules, compile the correct clues to discover the hiding place, and then retrieve the key. Present the key to Perry Stone, revealing how you solved the mystery from the book's clues to be awarded the fabulous gifts. The prize items were donated by businesses and individuals specifically for this search. The items include fabulous diamond, tanzanite, ruby, sapphire, and emerald rings, valuable earrings, bracelets, necklaces, and gemstones, elaborate gifts from Israel, including trays of bronze coins, silver Roman emperor coins, ancient silver Greek coins, and valuable Jewish coins of antiquity. The prize also includes gold, silver, and platinum American coins with numerous Morgan silver dollars, along with 1 ounce silver bars and silver rounds. Included are American Eagle, graded and slabbed silver dollars, and signed sports and celebrity cards. There is a major stamp collection, along with authentic ancient Holy Land relics. Two of the highest valued prizes are a famous and rare 1,950-year-old temple shekel and a beautiful gold Roman emperor coin. Anyone of any age can participate. You will need the book, The Treasure, to solve the mystery of the hidden key. The search is designed for individuals, families, youth groups, and small groups. Work together to solve the puzzle. Many of the clues can be solved from your home or office. However, a trip must be taken to discover the final clues and the exact spot. No one who has in the past or present worked for Perry Stone or any of his ministries are allowed to participate. Eligible individuals can participate by purchasing the 152-page, full-color, 28-chapter book, The Treasure, to research clues to the key's hiding place. The book is $35, and there is a limit to per family. It is only available through Voice of Evangelism and not in any bookstore. Income from the book goes toward the Voice of Evangelism's 7-point outreaches. Order this exciting and unique book by calling 1-888-21-BREAD or go to perrystone.org. You can also request the book by mailing in your donation of $35 or more to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and request offer TR1. Order now and be one of the first to receive your copy and begin a fun journey with family and friends to research the clues and solve the mystery.
Make plans to attend the 2023 International Prophetic Summit, April 27th through 30th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Come hear the latest prophecy updates from Jonathan Kahn, Lance Wallnau, Jimmy Evans, Mark Biltz, Bill Cloud, and Perry Stone. There is no fee to attend, but you must register online at perrystone.org, where you will also find information on hotels in the area. Seating is limited, so sign up today. Don't miss fresh insights and exciting new prophetic revelation at the 2023 International Prophetic Summit. Register now.
Well, thank you for joining me for this special message. I hope you enjoyed it. Now, even though we're focusing on a different offer than we normally would do, the messages are going to be powerful. Some things that the Lord's given me to teach you. We're going to keep teaching that word across the world. Now, if you live here in the United States, you're going to be able to participate in something very interesting. And that is the Appalachian Chain Treasure Hunt. I wrote this book. A gentleman that I knew that was well known named Forrest Finn. I knew of him. Let me say it that way. I participated in one of his hunts, and he said if I could live long enough, I would do something in the Appalachian Chain Mountains. Well, I wrote him and said, Mr. Finn, while he was still living, I'm going to do that. I've told you I'm going to show you something every week. This is, they'll probably get a close-up of this, a beautiful diamond necklace that actually has been my wife's for about 25 years. A friend of hers gave this to her, and the friend has gone to be with the Lord, and my wife does not wear a lot of really fancy jewelry. She just doesn't do that. But she said, I said, honey, can I put that in the hunt? She said, if you feel like you want to do it. So this is my daughter's inheritance that somebody might end up getting. It's beautiful though. That's one of the 500 prizes that you get. So get the book now, start working on it. And those of you that buy the book, I'll have the database of all of you that buy the book. So if there's any clues released later or anything I want to stay in touch with you about, we will have your address. We're not going to do it on TV to people that don't have the book, only the you that have the book. So get it while you can, while it's available, okay? And I wanted to do that, so that's on my bucket list. So now it's done, praise God. And I'm just grateful that the Lord gave me the wisdom to do this. All right. Quick announcements. Bill Cloud and I are doing that special event, as you know, called On Demand, and that's going to be in the month of March the 16th and 17th. Then coming to ISO the 26th to do a Sunday afternoon, going to Boaz, Alabama. And then in the months ahead, we're going to come back to Alaska, back to Wasilla, back to Saldanta. We're going to come to Louisville. We're going to come to Huntington, to Willis, Texas. We're going to come to Montana, to the reservation out there. We have a lot of places that we're going to be coming to. So perrystone.org is where you click on and look at our itinerary to see where we're going to be coming to. And we hope that you'll be able to join us in these areas in the future. A lot of great things God is doing. We give Him all the glory. And don't forget, order your book while it's available.